Would you please open to Hebrews chapter 8? Hebrews chapter 8. I want to pass something along to you tonight, show you some things from the Word that have to do with our life in Christ as far as what you might call living by faith. One of the things that there's a, I guess you could say, a tendency among believers as far as seeing things happen is that we don't see things happen. It's just the way it is. In other words, we have this belief, well, this concept, this idea, at least as far as those in what you would call full gospel circles, this belief that we're supposed to see healings. We're supposed to, well, we're just supposed to see everything happen, the promises, whatever's there. But we don't always see it that way. So, we kind of wonder what's going on. We know it's true, yet it doesn't happen the way that we think it should. I mean, after all, Jesus said, if you believe in me, the works that I do, you shall do also. So, okay, that's there, can't deny that, but I'm not really seeing a whole lot of works. Then we hear sermons addressing that issue. Some of the sermons talk about, well, you have to get the sin out. I understand that. But you know, the way that some of those sermons come across, well, no, let me restate that. The way that we tend to sometimes interpret those sermons is that we have to be super holy. In other words, there can't be any kind of anything going on in our lives. Absolutely no sin of any kind. No this, no that. We've got to be in the perfect will of God and all that. And, you know, we think, well, okay, that's not me. Well, guys, listen, I've got news for you. I don't know that that's really anyone. Not at that level. Meaning, we have this concept, okay, I got to be holy. I'm trying to be holy. And I'm not doing this, and I'm not doing that. I don't see sin, so how come the stuff isn't happening? Well, that means there must be more to it. That means that there must be, because look, there are, I know of a minister who ministered with other ministers, and they would go around and, you know, hold meetings, crusades and so forth. The minister that I know talked about how that, man, people would be getting healed in the services and wheelchairs would be emptied. It was just incredible. Then when the service was over, I would be in my hotel room and I'd look out the window of my hotel room and I would see the preacher that just got done preaching going across the street to a gay bar to find himself a couple of boys for the night. And yet, those healings took place. So you sit back and you say, well, for crying out loud, does holiness have anything to do with it? Well, it does. But at the same time, there obviously must be something else going on. Now, the example that I gave, that's the extreme example, okay? The extreme example. And that's not an excuse for us to do just whatever. But along with that, we hear things about tapping into the anointing. I heard a sermon one time about, how can I paraphrase this? There's a minister that operates in miracles. So therefore, if you give into that ministry, so financially into that ministry, then you can tap into that anointing. Well, and if I were to tell you who said that, some of you would shake your head and say, no way. But yes way. And I was really surprised at hearing that. But anyway, it just goes on and on. So we keep doing or trying to do these things that we hear we're supposed to do in order to get to that place of being used of God. Well, here in Hebrews chapter 8, I want to start with this verse, and then we'll work forward. Because in this verse, I'm going to present a concept that will carry us into the remainder of what we're going to see tonight. in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, and it's talking about Jesus and His position as our high priest, it says, "But now hath He obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also He is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." Now, I want to bring something out in this for illustration purposes. Notice it says, He's the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. So thinking of it the way it's written, what do we have first? We have the better promises. And the better covenant is established on the better promises. You see this? You've got to get this. You've got to see this. It starts out with better promises. Then we have a better covenant established on better promises. Now, this word established is critical because it means firm, fixed, immovable, unchangeable, permanent. It ain't going nowheres. I added that last part myself. Established. All right? That was not from the Strong's blood, believe me. Brother Strong wasn't from Alabama. It ain't going nowheres. Established upon better promises. So, think of it another way. If we didn't first have the better promises, how effective would the better covenant be? Now, I'm sure that people would banter about this, but I'm trying to paint an image here. So we see better promises, and then the better covenant is established upon the better promises. But if we take away the foundation of the better promises, what do we have? Well, we have a better covenant, but something's out of order here. So I have the better promises. Now, where can I find the better promises in the Word of God? It's not a trick question. Because if God made us a promise, it's in here somewhere. He did not make a promise to us and then say, "Oops, but I don't want them to know this one." Say, "Look, don't put that in the Bible." No. If there's a promise, it's in here. So all of these better promises that He speaks of are contained in Scripture, revealed, I guess you could say, more clearly in the New Testament, but actually prophesied in types and shadows and so forth in the Old Testament. So we have these better promises. Then we have the better covenant established on the better promises. So the better promises are the foundation for the better covenant. The better covenant's established. It's not going anywhere. It's fixed. You cannot separate the better covenant from the better promises. It's impossible to do that. But the key that I want to point out is this whole thing of established, immovable, unchangeable, unalterable in any way, shape, or form. Established. Now, with that word, established, being the glue between the covenant and the promises and how critical it is to understand this, let's take this another step forward. Look in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I'm going to give you a moment to get there, and we're going to go from Romans to a few other places in the New Testament to see a pattern. In Romans chapter 1, verse 11, the Apostle Paul writes, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me." Now, a lot of people want to talk about this impartation thing, the impartation of a spiritual gift, and they twist it all out of place to make it sound like, well, you know, the preacher is going to impart to me a spiritual gift. No, the gifts and the callings of God, not of the preacher. They are the gifts of the Spirit, not the preacher. On and on it goes. So I, as a minister, cannot impart to you a ministry calling. I cannot impart to you a ministry gift. This is, I don't have time to teach on that because we have to get someplace else here in this. Okay, but notice we see this word established. And he says, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. So we're seeing Paul is desiring that he and all these people to whom he's writing will all be at a place to where their faith is equal in amount or measure or operation. You see this? The mutual faith of us both. I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. But he says, I first need to minister to you, or this is my longing. And I wish I was there to impart to you some spiritual gift that you may be established. Now, a few moments ago, what did we see? We saw the word established directly connected with two things, covenant and promise, right? Had nothing to do with signs and wonders and gifts of the Spirit. You understand that? Here we see this word established being directly connected with what? Faith. Directly connected with faith. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Another way to say that would be, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of our covenant and the word of our promises. See this? I mean, really, there's no difference because the covenant and the promises are contained in the word. So he says, I want to be there with you. I want to minister to you out of what God has given to me so that, or to the end, ye may be established. This is revealing a process to take you from where you are to a place of being established relative to the faith both you and I are walking in. Are you seeing this process here in this passage? Now let's look somewhere else. Colossians. And there's only one Colossians. 3 Colossians, chapter 5. Colossians chapter 2. Now pick it up here in verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Now stop right there. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. What happens when we accept or receive Christ Jesus the Lord? We become born again, correct? Absolutely. So, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So verse 6, if you're born again, continue living according to that life you received from Him when you put your faith in Him. Continue living that way so that you become rooted and built up. Rooted alone is not good enough. Well, rooted will get you in heaven, okay? But he's saying it has to go further than this, or it needs to go further than this. Not just rooted in Him, but built up in Him. You know, you grow from a seed to a little sprig to a mighty tree. Rooted and built up in Him, resulting in you being what? Established in the faith, as you have been taught. Okay, so now we see, remember a few moments ago in Romans, he was talking about, I want to impart unto you some spiritual gift. Well, it wasn't that he was going to lay hands on them and give them, you know, the gift of the word of knowledge. That's not what that's talking about. Think of it like this. I wish I could be there so that I could minister unto you or impart unto you out of what God has released in me. Well, what is it he would have done? What was Paul most concerned with? It was doctrine. It was what was being taught. This is why in everything that Paul wrote, somewhere along the line, he addresses this issue of doctrine. Maybe not with that word, but with the concept. And here he says, look, now that you're born again, keep making progress in Christ Jesus, so that not only are you rooted in him, but you will be built up and established in what? The faith. Well, see, we saw that a few moments ago about established and faith over there in Romans. Here he says, established in the faith as you have been taught. As you have been taught. So what I'm seeing in this is, I have a choice here. The teaching is going to go forth, but what I do with that teaching is totally up to me. I can receive the teaching so that I become the rooted and built up person and eventually established in the faith. Or I can reject it. Not disavow it, not say that isn't truth, but I can refuse to receive it into my life for the rooting, building up, and establishing process. He says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught. Now this right here, it should absolutely, I'll use this word, convict us concerning who we listen to when it comes to teaching. Remember a few moments ago I shared with you, well, if you give an offering into a ministry, then you know you can tap into that anointing and you can draw on that anointing. So in other words, my money gives me access to the anointing of a preacher? Well, see, that's what was being taught. Now, I listened to that whole sermon I just spoke of. You know, I listened to the whole thing, and so much of it was really, really good. But then he starts talking about this. It's like, man, you got to be kidding me. I did not know you taught like this. So anyway, how you or what you listen to determines how well established you are in the faith. Remember, better covenant, better promises. That's where we are supposed to be established, in that better covenant and those better promises. Now let's look at another place. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, let's pick it up beginning in verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. So here's what's going on. Word had gotten back to the Thessalonians that things were going pretty rough for the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul was very concerned about how this might impact the Thessalonians, the Christians there, and their Christian walk. So he said, we sent Timothy to you so that he could minister to you to establish you and comfort you concerning your faith, relative to, specifically here, the afflictions that we're facing. Now, here's a way to look at this. Things are going bad for the Apostle Paul. He's shipwrecked. He's beaten. He is imprisoned. All kinds of bad stuff. So now, the Thessalonian believers, they hear this, and they can begin to question God's faithfulness. They can begin to question, well, gee whiz, I thought God loved us, our Father, watching over us, and so on and so forth, and yet all these bad kind of things are happening. I mean, what's going on here? So Paul and those with him, they decided to send Timothy so that Timothy could go there and explain to them, guys, look, it isn't God that's beating them. It isn't God that's imprisoning them. But God has sent them into a place where Satan has a stronghold and he's fighting against the spread of the gospel. And God can't control the will of humans. And if those humans decide to imprison Paul and those with him, then that's what they're going to do. But you need to understand that Paul is holding on strong in his faith, and he's not blaming God. He knows he has a mission. He knows this is what he's supposed to do. And you Thessalonians, now this may not be what God wants you to do. He may not send you into an area where these kind of things could happen to you. But whether he does or whether he doesn't, the thing is, God is not the one that's beating on Paul or anybody else. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So, he's saying, we sent Timothy to minister to you, to establish you and comfort you concerning your faith. Meaning, out of Timothy's teaching, out of what he presents to you, it is going to help you to become established in the faith. So here again, we see another connection between established and the faith and things that are being taught. Let's look at another place. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now jump here to verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Now, another way to say present truth would be the faith, or in other words, the life that we're living as far as our relationship with Christ is concerned. But be established in the present truth. So he says, look, there's some. We're not going to get into everything between verse 1 and verse 9, up to verse 10, but he says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. What is your calling and election? Well, very simply put, your calling and your election is your salvation. You know, let me paint this image. You know, the Lord called me to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I elected Him as my Savior. I mean, that's not the perfect way to teach that, but it paints an image. And he says, look, let me say it like this. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to be established in your calling and your election, to make it sure. That's another way of saying established. For if you do these things, if I do what? If I do what's necessary, and you can read all this beginning in verse 1, if I do what's necessary, then here's what's going to happen. I will be established. I shall never fall. I shall never fall. A lot of Christians are more concerned about seeing the gifts of the Spirit than they are being established. We'll get into that here in just a moment. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's talking about when all is said and done here in this life, you will be welcomed into eternity with Jesus. Wherefore, he says, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. In other words, guys, I'm going to teach some of these things that you already know. I'm going to go over and over again. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, so that you are established in the present truth, so that you are firmly entrenched in the present truth, so that there is no wavering, so there is no chance of you being moved, so there is no doubt, no unbelief, no anything, that you are established in the truth of the Word of God. Look at another place, James chapter 5. James chapter 5, and look at verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. But we just saw being established is it plays a critical role in us being ready for the Lord's return. So now here we see, establish your hearts. Establish your hearts. Now, Who is the one who does all this establishing? It's the individual believer. God does not do this in and of himself. We read three different passages where the words establish and faith were both used. Then we see the present truth, and then here we see about establishing your heart. All of what we read, all the passages of Scripture we've read so far, were all written to Christians. Now, think about this. They're all written to Christians. What that means is, the moment we get born again, there is a process, there is a growth, a maturation spiritually to this place of being established. If we ignore this, we can stay born again, but we won't be established. Remember? Established, cannot be moved, cannot be shaken, cannot be altered, cannot be taken away. I mean, established, firmly established. One of the best examples of firmly established was Jesus. Firmly established. See, and this is now getting us to why aren't we seeing the promises manifest the way they should? You know, how come I'm not seeing, you know, the provision that God said He would provide? How come I'm not seeing the healings? And how come I'm not seeing this? And how come I'm not seeing that? And, you know, why isn't this stuff taking place? Well, is it God's will for those things to take place? Our immediate response is yes. But what are we saying inside? Is it possible we might be wondering, well, I hope. I mean, I'm not going to argue with the Bible, but, you know, it's not happening. But I believe these things. I believe them. Do you hear what I'm saying? I believe them. Don't argue with me. I believe these things. Here's the thing. It's one thing to believe that God said something. It's another thing to be established in what He said. Therein lies the key. That's it. Because the first time you pray for somebody and the healing doesn't manifest, you wonder why. I thought it was supposed to work this way. Because the Word of God says, that's right, that's what the Word of God says. And you have come into agreement that this is the Word of God. We've come into agreement that, yes, I believe this is God's Word. From cover to cover, I believe this is God's Word. Well, hallelujah. I even believe the parts about healing and miracles and speaking in tongues. I believe that. Okay, well, praise the Lord. A lot of people don't. But you do. Well, I believe it. So what's the problem? Okay, you believe it. I believe it. But are we established? Are you seeing the difference in this? Because established isn't simply a matter of believing that God said it and believing that it's true. Established is a matter of expectation that it will happen. Think of it like with Jesus, with healing. You know, the one fella, Jesus says, "What do you want?" He says, "Well, I'd like to receive my sight." He said, "Okay, there you go." Another person comes and says, the lady says, "You know, oh, you know, my child's at home really sick, about to die and all that." And Jesus says, "Well, you know, you're not a Jew, so I don't know about this. And, well, even the crumbs eat the dogs off the, or the dogs eat the crumbs." The dogs eat the crumbs, and Jesus said, "Oh, you know what, you got great faith. Okay, your daughter's healed." There was never any doubt in Jesus' mind this would happen. But because it happens so infrequently in the lives of the members of the body of Christ, we end up with entire denominations telling us it doesn't happen and it's not for today. And the problem is not that it won't happen for today. The problem is we're not established in what God has said. So it's bad enough if you don't believe it, because if you don't believe it, you sure can't be established. Well, if you at least get to the point to where you believe it, praise God, you believe it. But believing it isn't enough. There has to be an establishment We have to be established in that to where we aren't going to be altered in this. You're going to be healed. When I pray for you, you're going to be healed. When I do this, you know, when I speak the word, didn't Jesus say, you know, if you believe and don't doubt, you can say unto the mountain, be thou removed. That's what he said. If you believe in your heart, the things you say will come to pass, you'll have what you say. He said that. But if you're not established in the word, you start saying all kinds of stupid stuff. And the more established you are in the word is the less stupid stuff you'll say. The more established you are in the Word is the more you'll realize, well, the more established you are in the Word, it becomes the abundance of your heart, and that becomes how you speak. The context of your speech lines up with the better covenant and the better promises. You're not quoting Scripture all the time, but you speak in line with the Word of God. The fact that we're not established, let me say it like this, means that a lot of times when we pray for people, we're just hoping something good happens. And we don't want to talk about it like this. Because we believe the Word of God. And you're not going to convince me that healing is not for today. Hallelujah. You're not going to convince me of such a thing either. But am I established on the Word? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we hear enough, and then we convince ourselves it's true. And we believe it. And we say, yes, 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 it's true. However, being established begins to get results. Some people are more established when it comes like healing than they are prosperity. That's why a lot of preachers, man, they'll pray for people and there's the healing. But then when it comes to the finances, they're begging and pleading all day long. They're not established in that area. How many more sermons do we need to hear about faith? Think about it. How many sermons have we heard about faith? 100 each of us? 500? How many sermons have we heard about faith? And so somebody said, well, we're going to teach about faith today. It's like, oh, great, another faith sermon. Okay, well, praise God. If you're established, you're going to say, hallelujah, another faith sermon. Bring it on. Well, today I want to teach you some more about what praying in tongues will do. Oh, brother, here we go. You know what? Peter said, I'm not going to be negligent and not teach these things to you over and over again to be sure you're established. So therefore, when I stand up and I begin to teach about, well, here's what praying in tongues will do, if the thought crosses your mind, I already know all this, you're not established. You believe it, but you're not established. If when I say, well, guys, I want to talk to you about tonight some things about tongues, what praying in tongues will do, your mind, you think, okay, yeah, you've heard this before, but today you may hear something a little differently. And even if you don't hear anything any differently, it's still the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God, you're becoming more firmly established. See this? And some of you are feeling kind of funny right now about this. And I understand it because so am I. See, faith is not simply a matter of being in agreement with what God has said. Faith is a matter of being established on what He said. The more established I am on what He said, you say, well, how do I get established? Well, faith comes by hearing. You can't become established on the Word if the Word isn't coming in. Okay. If you've ever been around construction or you know anything about construction, let's say that you and I both want to build the exact same kind of house. I mean, we've got the exact same blueprints, everything. Same wood, the same brick, everything. Everything is identical. Same architect, same construction company. And so they begin to build. And let's say it's going to cost $250,000 for me to build my house. But it's going to cost $300,000 for you to build yours. And we both have the exact same size lot. And you're wondering, well, now, wait a minute. It's the exact same materials, same construction company, same nails, same everything. Why am I having to pay an extra $50,000? That's because where you have your property, there's a lot of water underground, and so they have to dig deeper and lay a deeper foundation. See this? You try to build a house on the foundation that I used, it ain't going to happen. You have to go deeper, and it's costing you another $50,000 to dig that much deeper and pour that much more concrete to build the house that you desire. Sometimes, no, let me say it like this, all the time, for us as believers, to be established, we have to keep pouring concrete. You understand the analogy? We have to keep, the word has to continue to come into us. The word has to be established. Not to convince me to believe it, but to be established. I already believe it. I already don't have a problem with this. I already believe I do not have a sin nature. Now, at one time I believed that. Yes, I'm born again and I have a sin nature. Well, the word corrected me on that. So now I know I'm born again and I don't have a sin nature. But just because I believe that does not mean I am firmly established in the present truth. The present truth is the sum total of the Word of God. Doesn't mean I have to know everything. It just means what I mean by know everything, it doesn't mean I have to have the Bible memorized and so forth. It just means this is an establishing process. I remember there was somebody contacted me one time. And they were in a tough situation. And I mean a tough situation financially. I won't go into all of it. But I mean they were almost like begging. Please send money, please send money, please send money. And I was, you know, coming back with responses, and I just made it clear, you know, no money is going to be sent. And I can't go into all the details here, okay? No money is going to be sent. And they're replying, you know, well, you know, we're Christians, and it was a family. You know, we believe God, and we know that, you know, God loves us, and so on and so forth. And we believe that God is a miracle worker. Please, please send us money. Now, do you hear the contradiction in that? I believe God is a miracle worker, but please, please, you have to send me money. And we've contacted churches all over the place, and nobody has sent us anything yet. Okay, are you reading between your own lines here? Now, I'm not trying to be critical of these people that contacted me, okay? Because we've all kind of been there before, you know? But what they were saying is, we believe that God is a miracle worker, and I know they believe that. I don't doubt that one bit at all. I know they believe that God is a miracle worker. They need a financial miracle. But they're asking me to send them money, pleading, you have to help us. You have to help us. You've got to help us. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, for crying out loud, Brother Martin, why didn't you help them? There are reasons that are extremely legitimate. So don't leave here tonight thinking, boy, that pastor's a bum. No, the pastor's not a bum. There are reasons why I didn't. And wise, let me tell you something. Just because somebody contacts you with a hard luck story doesn't mean it's your responsibility to help. Okay? I'm going to leave it at that. Well, anyway, they said, we believe God is a miracle worker, but please, please, please send us money. And I replied, but anyway, the bottom line is, we can believe that God is all of these things. But if we're not established in the present truth, then we will keep begging for somebody else to come through. You understand what I mean by that? Using that story as the analogy. To take this even a little bit further, when I am established, I mean established, I will see less and less of a need to have you pray for me concerning healing. I'm not saying it's wrong to pray. The Bible tells us to pray for each other for healing. You know, call the elders, you know, anoint with oil, prayer, faith, and all that. The Bible tells us that. Jesus said, lay hands on the sick. Okay, that's in Scripture. I'm not refuting that. I'm talking about for me. When I come to the place where I am firmly established, I mean, didn't Jesus say you can speak to and receive? Well, yeah. Whatever you pray, believing, you shall receive? Yes, absolutely. He's talking about me as an individual. So if I'm facing a healing something in my body, then I can be at the place to where I don't
feel I have to have somebody pray for me. You understand the difference? So don't, listen, don't anybody, when this message is over, think I'm saying it's wrong to ask people to pray for you. It's not wrong. But when it, but this whole thing of being established, I know you guys are understanding what I'm saying. So see, it's a process. It is a process that takes place in our lives. Here's what's interesting. Think of it like this. Lost people can believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Oh, there are a lot of lost people. You ask them, what do you think the Bible is? Well, that's God's Word. You really believe? Oh, yeah, I believe that. That's God's Word. You mean all of it? Oh, yeah, all of it. Don't know about the maps, but I mean the Bible, you know, Genesis and all the rest of those books in there. Yeah, I mean, that's the Word of God. I believe that. So you believe that God gave us the Bible. I absolutely do. I mean, I don't understand how it all happened, but I truly believe that that is the Word of God. So there are a lot of lost people, and you may have encountered some lost folks like this. I mean, they'll tell you they believe the Bible is the Word of God. How they came to that understanding and belief, I don't know. But they'll say it. However, even though they believe that the Bible is the Word of God, if they don't act on the Word, they will never get born again. You understand that? Well, you know, the Bible says you're a sinner and all this kind of stuff. Well, they say they believe it, but if they do not act on it, they will never be born again. They believe the Bible. They believe that it's God's Word, but they refuse to accept. They refuse to accept what it says about their spiritual condition. You understand this? Now, we would think, wow, those silly lost people. What about us silly Christians? Here's the Word of God. I believe this is the Word of God. You're not going to convince me otherwise. However, if I refuse to act on it, I will not be established. Now, there are two primary ways to be established. Sowing the Word, just sowing it, just getting it in, reading it out loud, reading, listening to it, being read to you and all that, and then praying in tongues. Beloved, you know, pray in tongues. Why? So you can build yourself up on your most holy faith. See the connection? So see, it isn't that we don't believe, we do. We do believe. No, we're not questioning that one bit. But it's a matter of being established, because the more established we become, the more we see promise results, covenant results in this life. Now see, I'm looking at this, and go ahead and turn over to Matthew chapter 4. I'm looking at this in my own life, and I'm going to be the first person here to publicly admit I am not as established as I thought I was. Because believing it, hey, I'm the guy that stands up here and teaches it, so you hope I believe what I teach, right? That would be a wise thing. But I'm taking a look at me, and it's like, okay, I'm established to a point, but I'm not as established as I thought I was, so that means I've got a whole lot more establishing that I can do. Now, this to me gives a whole lot deeper meaning to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When I'm firmly established, I live Matthew 4:4. That is me. That's how I do it. That is what you see in my life when I'm firmly established. When somebody comes to me and they said, you know, oh, you know, I need prayer. I mean, this thing here hurts, or the doctor said this or whatever. Then, well, hey, look, Jesus was able, and I don't understand how all this works, but Jesus was able to give a temporary anointing, if you will, to the 12 and to the 70 who went out 2 by 2, and all these people got healed. Gee whiz, I'm a child of God. They weren't even born again, let alone filled the Holy Ghost.
Here I am, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. These things are supposed to be happening. And not just for some kind of a temporary, you know, mantle that is laid upon me. And then I come back rejoicing, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us in your name. You know what? That should be my everyday life. Yeah, that's right, they are. You know why? Because I'm a child of God. And I have the right to use the name of Jesus. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. We're so good at reading a lot of these verses and these promises and declaring them and believing them, absolutely believing them. But when we become established in these promises, that's when we start seeing more manifestation take place. You know, in Scripture it talks about our provision, the promises that God has made. 2 Corinthians 8:9, 2 Corinthians 9:8, Philippians 4:19. Those are my three favorites when it comes to provision. Do you know one of the reasons why confession is so important? It's because that helps establish us on the promise. There's an old song we used to sing growing up in church, Standing on the Promises. You know, standing. It's a cool song. And it still applies today. It's a truth. Well, if you use that song as imagery, it appears to be established. Established on the promises of God my Savior. See what I mean? Now, this can be a real challenge because some people could hear this message and think, well, man, I'll tell you what, I thought I was doing pretty good. I believed things I didn't believe before, but now I find out that maybe I'm not doing so hot. No, you are. You are. For one thing, you're here. Now, let that one sink in. There are a lot of people who aren't here, and the reason they're not is, well, I don't want to go. That's another sermon. Hallelujah. The more we get into the Word and sow it into our lives, and the more we pray in the Spirit, is the more established we become. The more we get to that place of we don't have those little nagging doubts that kind of hide in our minds and kind of peek around the corner when we're praying for people. You know what I mean? It's like, well, I don't know, man. You know, I mean, that person, all they had was a cold, and you got Sasquatch syndrome. I don't know about that. This may not go well. Now we get to the place of, I don't care what you've got. Jesus didn't care. It didn't matter to him. What's that? You got a devil, and you're running around naked in the graveyard, and you break chains and beat people up? No problem. Come out. Come out. It wasn't any big deal for him because he was established. He was established. And see, that's where we have to come. Now, this message tonight, it's not meant to convict or to make you feel condemned or to make you feel guilty or to make you feel like a loser or anything. What it is, it's a message to help us sit back and realize, okay, now I see why a lot of these things aren't happening. It isn't that I don't believe it. Well, I do believe it. But I have to become established in what I believe, the present truth. So it's going to require me getting more word in me and not, you know, have you ever been in those situations you're praying for somebody and it's like you're praying with everything that's in you. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Like grunting makes it work better or something. I don't know. Oh, be healed. We're trying to work something up, and we don't mean it to be fake. We're serious. And then nothing happens. Like, man, what a loser I am. No, look. You believed it enough to try, right? You believed it enough to pray. Progress. You're making progress. All right, well, see, we have to keep going in this. We have to continue to get the Word in us because there's a lot in us that is hindering the establishing and hindering the work being done through us. It just needs to be dealt with. So, you know, we get into the Word, we pray in the Spirit, and guys, look, it's me. It's me too. It's me. And I'll be honest, you know, there are times I stand up and I teach some of this stuff and I feel like a fool hypocrite
Because I know what the Word says, and I'm standing up here saying, and this is what should be and how we're supposed to. And then I look at me and it's like, liar, liar, you are not doing nothing. But it's kind of like I'm going into the promised land and then I'm coming back and giving you the report, realizing that I have to do it too. So anyway, I want you guys to be encouraged by this tonight, to know that you're not a failure. It's just that we need to work at being established in the present truth, and we're going to see these things happen.